Blog Talk Radio.
Live and bass from Memphis, Tennessee, this is Grizzly Bear Blues Live, hosted by Joe Mullinax.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhyme record, break neck spines and vertebrae, simple and plain like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirt bag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap, catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim thugging them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like In Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect. All I need is a check. Mike, check.
It remains, ladies and gentlemen, the best of times and the worst of times for these Memphis Grizzlies. The peaks and valleys of this season truly are remarkable. And when the book is written on this season by somebody much smarter than I, it is going to be fascinating to look back on all the twists and turns and the utter disregard for human emotion that this organization has shown for its fan base. It really has been utterly ridiculous, and I'm happy to have had you along for the ride with me here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Thank you so much for being with us. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening to the podcast, I appreciate you joining us. I'm excited to bring on our first guest, filling in for Mr. Chris Faulkner once again in the Grizzly Bear News segment. She's a wonderful contributor to grizzlybearblues.com. It's her first time on the show. Excited to have her on. She's a senior contributor to the site. If you enjoy the vines that we post during games a good bit, she's one of the best at that. She runs it for us. She does a great job really keeping up with what's going on with the team. We're excited to have her on. Ms. Grace Baker. Grace, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show tonight.
Of course. Thanks for coming on, of course, as Mr. Faulkner continues his adjusted schedule, finding wonderful fill-ins for him, and that tonight is no exception. So thank you, Grace, for joining me. I also have two other guests that we'll get to here in a minute talking about what this show will look like down the road. But first, I want to make sure that you have ways to get in touch with Grizzly Bear Blues Live. We want this program to be as interactive as possible. So whether you're listening to the live show, whether you're listening to the archive podcast later on in the week and on the weekend, however you're enjoying us, here's how to get in touch. Follow us on Twitter at GBB Live, which several of you did the past few days, building up to our big ticket giveaway that we'll be doing at the end of the show. Thank you for that. And one of you will be rewarded very handsomely with two tickets to Grizzlies and Spurs on Monday, March 28th. So I'm excited to do that at the end of the show. But follow us on Twitter if you don't already do so at GBB Live. We will have other giveaways as the season progresses and as we get into the off season, whether it's a Fan Essentials box or whether it's something along those lines, there will be other giveaways through Twitter, so make sure you're following us there. You can follow me on Twitter, at Joe Mullinax, that's M-U-L-L-I-N-A-X, and you can follow Grace on Twitter if you don't already do so. I highly recommend it, at GraceBaker901, that's B-A-K-E-R. Other ways to get in touch with the show, if you're listening to the live podcast on this Thursday evening, you can get into the chat room. That's a wonderful place. I moderate the chat. If you want to talk with us there, give us a shout-out, ask a question to me or any of our guests. Happy to do that. Not a problem whatsoever. Just hit us up in the chat, and I'll be sure to check that out. Here's the rundown for the show tonight. Grace and I are going to talk about Grizzly Bear news, as we always do in the first segment. We're going to give a special shout-out to one Tony Allen, who in a losing effort had a remarkable offensive performance. We're also going to give a shout-out to Kobe Bryant, although that son of a gun went out in a bad way against the Memphis Grizzlies, at least the Grizzlies fans. It was pretty cool to watch him for the last time against Memphis. We'll talk about Jordan Farmar and how people love him and hate him already. I think he's played two games. And we'll also talk about Zach Randolph. From there, we will get into the second segment with Chris Reichert of Upside Motor. He is a D-League specialist. We're excited to have him on the program tonight. He's going to talk about the various D-leaguers who have played for Memphis so far this season, whether or not any of these dudes are worth keeping long-term, even somebody who maybe isn't on the team anymore, like an Alex Stevenson or a Beyonce Weber. And then we'll do an Iowa Energy update, taking a look at the seasons of guys like DJ Steffens, a Memphis favorite, as well as Andrew Harrison, who I lovingly call the backup point guard of the future for the Memphis Grizzlies. From there, in the final segment, Andy Liu, you guys who have been listening to the show for a while, we remember him from the Golden State playoff series last year. He was on the show, or he may not have been on the show. I might have had his partner at the time on. But anyway, I will have Andy on this time. I interacted with Golden State of Mind a good bit, the SB Nation, Golden State Warriors blog last season. Excited to have Andy on our show again this year for the first time. I tell you, my memory's going, Grace. We'll talk about the greatness that is Golden State, obviously having a tremendous season. We'll talk about the Throwback Thursday, a finer time for Memphis Grizzlies fans when there was a point when Memphis had Golden State on the ropes. Believe it or not, I know a lot has happened between now and then, but it was 2-1 Memphis in that playoff series before Golden State kind of went off. And if you listen to Golden State fans, and they do it in a somewhat sarcastic way, they kind of thank Memphis for ushering in this era of greatness that is the Golden State Warriors recently. So we'll talk to him about that. We'll also take a look at the Western Conference playoff picture overall. So we'll have Chris Reichert on in the second segment. We'll have Andy Liu on in the third segment. But first up, it is Grace Baker with Grizzly Bear News. And Grace, as you know, I know you've listened to the show before, the whole purpose of this first segment is really to give a rundown of all the great stuff that's happened on the site this week. Obviously, several of your vines were very popular, and you do a great job posting those on the site, as well as our Facebook page. But one of the major things, you're welcome, but one of the major things that we took a look at this past week, of course, game coverage is kind of the heart and soul of what we do at Grizzly Bear Blues, and there's been some tough ones the past week. Again, it's the best of times and worst of times over and over and over again. You had huge wins against the Los Angeles Clippers at home on a Saturday night where Zach Randolph comes back, posts a triple-double somehow. I'll never forget watching that as long as I live. 28 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists for Mr. Zach Randolph. First name, we'll go 30. Middle name, 11. Last name, 10. And then they beat Phoenix in Phoenix, which was a big win because it's kind of been a stumbling block for them this season, getting over the hump against the Suns. They find a way to beat Phoenix in the fourth quarter. They make a little comeback. So you start feeling positive again. You start thinking, okay, these Grizzlies can hold on to the 5 seed. Mike Conley comes back. Brendan Wright comes back healthy. They've got a shot to beat the Clippers, and then they'll get their heads busted in by the Golden State Warriors. And then the Lakers game happens. And then even with Tony Allen having such a great offensive game, there were turnovers from Tony and other Grizzlies, to be fair to Mr. Allen, Mr. Grindfather. And the Grizzlies lose a tough one in L.A., 107-100. Second night of a back-to-back. Tough game, but at the same time, if you're trying to hold on to this 5 seed, Grace, that's one that would have been really nice to have.
Yes, that LA Lakers game was really disappointing after the last two games where the Grizzlies looked so good and consistent, and finally Zach Randolph was back, and it seemed like things were starting to somewhat fall into place. And with the tough schedule with the Spurs and the Warriors coming up, you really needed that Lakers game. And with Tony Allen, he was 12 of 12 from the field, and it was definitely a disappointing loss on Tuesday night. And now you just got to buckle up and try to get a few more wins to secure a playoff spot.
You got to find a way. I mean, that's the bottom line. And our own Matty B, who, shout out to Matty B, Matt Bishop, has been phenomenal the past few weeks, and I've given him multiple shout-outs on Twitter and on this show about how great he's been filling in for Mr. Faulkner again, some work changes for Chris. So he's been a little bit out and about. Matty B has stepped up huge, done a great job with game coverage, great job with getting the site up and running every day. So, again, shout-out to Matt Bishop doing a great job. He posted an article today kind of giving a rundown of playoff positioning and probabilities at present. I like the alliteration that he hit us with there. And it's interesting, Grace, when you look at the things that Matty breaks down, and if you haven't checked it out as you listen to the show, make sure you go to grizzlybearblues.com and check out his rundown. He predicts essentially everybody that the Grizzlies are competing with for seeding. Theoretically, they still have a chance to catch the Clippers. That's not really going to happen. They're in tough water when it comes to that. They're probably stuck in the 4 seed, those Clippers, and the Grizzlies at best will probably be the 5 seed. But mathematically speaking, they can still catch the Clippers. Probably not going to happen. Then you have the Trailblazers, who are the 6 seed currently. You've got Dallas, who is the current 7 seed. And you've got the Jazz, who are the 8 seed. Houston Rockets being the 9th seed is utterly hilarious. because you could argue they are the most talented team of all of them, and somehow they are below 500. So he gives a bunch of different rundowns. He talks about realistic possibilities, good realistic possibilities, which he lovingly referred to as the Mullinax, which I appreciate that. Unrealistic good, which is the hyper Mullinax. So, you know, that's just being uber positive. And he gives a good rundown, and through all of his predictions, he has the Grizzlies going between the fifth seed and the eighth seed. Essentially, in order for them to drop to the eighth seed, that would put them at 41-41 if that happens. They would have to lose the rest of their schedule. So they play at San Antonio, at home against San Antonio, at home against Denver, home against Toronto. They're at Orlando, home against Chicago, at Dallas, Golden State at home, which will be an awesome game to attend if Golden State is going for history that night. I'm kind of selfishly hoping they do, because I'll be in Memphis that weekend and I'll be at that game. So it'll be cool to watch Golden State go to work. I planned this trip months in advance, so I got very lucky. I'll probably have to play the lottery one. Then they're at the Clippers on April 12th, and then they're at Golden State on April 13th, and a back-to-back to finish the regular season. So at worst, they can go 41-41, finish exactly 500. That is probably good enough for the eighth seed in the Western Conference at this point. So I think, obviously, mathematically, they can still fall out, but the eighth seed is probably the worst they can do, because obviously all these other teams would have to win a lot of games in order to catch Memphis. I think the Rockets would have to go something like 6-4 or 7-4. And if you watch that team play lately, they're not going to do that. So looking at this chart, he has unrealistically good, which is 8-2, and finishing 49-34. Again, let's kind of rule that one out as well, Grace, because you watch these guys play lately. 8-2, probably not going to happen. He has them beating Golden State, the Clippers, and San Antonio in that scenario. The only two losses there would be at San Antonio and at Golden State. So we take those two out, the two unrealistic ones. Let's go realistic, realistic good, and realistic not so good. And he has them finishing anywhere between 47-36 and 44-38. In two of the three scenarios, they're the five seed, and in one of the scenarios, they're the six seed. This all inspired, Grace, the Grizzly Bear Blues Live question of the day. And that question of the day was, forgive me as I find it because I got a lot of retweets this week. all right, so yes, the question of the day was this. What do you think will be the Memphis Grizzlies seed in the playoffs? All right, and I asked that on Grizzly Bear Blues Live's Twitter account. I also asked that on the Grizzly Bear Blues Facebook page. And I got several responses, thanks to everybody who responded. A Fast Break Breakfast, a great fellow Grizzlies podcast, responds at Fast Break. They say the 7 seed, so they see them falling all the way to the 7. I prompted them after that response, saying what their record will be the rest of the way. And Fast Break Breakfast says 1-9, which is not very optimistic. He had a smiley face, or a frowny face there at the end. Jill Kong, great listener to the show, great Twitter follow, at Jill Seattle, if you don't follow her, very smart, Grizzlies-wise, much like Grace. Jill says the 5 seed, Portland has gone 4-7 in their last 11 games and will have 5 playoff opponents in their last 10. Assuming they go 5-5, the Grizzlies only need 2 wins to clinch the 5 seed. So some good, strong math for the Grizzlies there. Our responder on Facebook was also similarly positive. Davel Smith, forgive me if I mispronounce that, says if the Grizzlies play grit and grind defense in the next 10 games, they can finish at the 5 seed. They, over the years, the Grizzlies have proven that they can be a very high elite team in the first round of the playoffs. All right, so he thinks the 5 seed as well. So thanks to everybody who chimed in on the question of the day. Grace, I will turn that question to you. Where do you think the Grizzlies are going to fall? If you're not comfortable giving a, you know, sometimes I have folks on and they're like, oh, I don't like to make record predictions. This is fine. But what seed do you think is realistic for the Grizzlies after watching, you know, the highest of highs, what they're capable of against the Clippers, and then the lowest of lows, what happens when they play the way they did against the Lakers?
Well, I think that the fifth seed is still pretty realistic. I'm a pretty optimistic person. I like to look at things, you know, glass half full. I think that when they face the Spurs twice, those will probably both be losses. And when they face the Warriors twice, those will probably be losses as well. But you got to win the game at Denver. You got to win against the Magic. And the toss-ups for me are against the Bulls, the Mavs, and the Raptors. You just beat the Clippers. You can beat them again. I'm really hopeful we can get the fifth seed, but I could definitely see us falling to the sixth seed. I really, really hope we get to face the Clippers in the playoffs, because I think that is definitely the most favorable matchup for Memphis.
Yeah, that's not even a question. I agree with that completely. You don't want any part of the Thunder. Maybe when you're fully healthy, you get to push the Thunder to seven games as they have in the past. But the way they are now, they'll be lucky to win one. So I think the Clippers are definitely the team that you want in that first round. Let's take a look at the standings as we speak. Again, assuming that the Grizzlies are resigned to the five seed, they're currently 41-31 at the time of this recording Thursday night. Portland is 37-35. The Dallas Mavericks are 35-36, as are the Utah Jazz, and Houston is 35-37, which, by the way, there are nine teams over 500 in the Eastern Conference. There are only six teams over 500 in the Western Conference, which is pretty remarkable when you think about it.
That is crazy.
The drastic flip in the past year. You think dominance in the playoff seedings, you think the Western Conference, and it's still very top-heavy. It's Golden State and San Antonio. When those two teams meet in the conference finals, that'll probably be your NBA finals as well. But
yes,
assuming health, of course. But the Eastern Conference is really rounded out quite nicely. Memphis, as I said, is 41-31. The sixth seed is 41-30 in the East, and that's Charlotte. So Memphis would be a lower seed at this point if they were in the Eastern Conference. I haven't been able to say that for several years. But if Memphis does indeed go, let's say, 5-5, right? 5-5 would put them at 46-36. In order for Portland to get above 46-36, and their last, let's see, quick math, their last 10 games, they'd have to go something like 8-2, 9-1. It would be very difficult to get caught at this point if you are the Grizzlies, as long as you don't completely fall off. Now, 3-7, which is what I kind of think they're going to go over these last 10, beat Dallas, beat Orlando, and beat Denver next week. You look at that, and that makes you feel a little bit more uneasy. You're 44, and that'll put you at 38, 44-38. So now that gives Portland a little bit more wiggle room, but they still have to finish 6-4 to finish in front of you. Or excuse me, they have to finish see, all this math is killing me. They still have to do pretty well, as Jill talked about on Twitter, in order for them to find a way to get in front of Memphis. So as long as there's not an utter and complete collapse, like a 1-9, like Fast Break Breakfast said, as long as that doesn't happen, I think Memphis is going to be in the five seed. They just have to find a way to maybe pick off one extra win in addition to the three that I see them as winning if they play the way they're capable of.
I agree.
Got to find a way. You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Monax. I am chatting right now with Grace Baker, one of our great senior contributors over at grizzlybearblues.com. Make sure you are following her on Twitter, if you do not already do so, at GraceBaker901. And Grace, one of the major reasons that the Grizzlies have been so successful as of late, and he is going to be the topic of my Friday 3 tomorrow, is Zach Randolph. This is a guy who, throughout my tenure as a Grizzlies fan, I have had a mixed relationship with. This is a player who, when I first became a Grizzlies fan, and it was Rudy Gay versus Zach Randolph, essentially, after a year or so, I wanted to trade Zach. I was a trade Zach guy. I wanted Rudy to stay. And that, in hindsight, sounds pretty dumb, but that's how I felt at the time. And then as that choice was made and it stayed Zach, I said, okay, Zach needs to stay. I understand he's a big part of Memphis, but his role needs to be reduced. Marc Gasol, Mike Conley, they need to step up. And last season that happened. Marc Gasol became the All-NBA player. Zach still had a very good year, but he kind of went back. And now I'm at the point with Zach to where he has to be everything again. And for the Grizzlies against the Clippers, he was that. He's come full circle for me as a fan to when I first became a Grizzlies fan in 2011 with the playoffs and the Super Zebo run. He had a triple-double against the Clippers, Grace. It doesn't get more Super Zebo than that.
Yes.
So I'm full circle as a fan when it comes to Zach Randolph, and I truly appreciate not just what he means to the city of Memphis, because that's been well-documented, but if this team has any shot at anything moving forward this season, it's Zach Randolph with a bullet.
Yes. I mean, he's just one of those guys for me. I just wish he could play for Memphis forever, because he's so great for the city and for the team. And when the Grizzlies have needed someone to produce consistently. He's always been there, and he's only been back for a few games, but he's already made such a big impact. I mean, he had 28 against the Clippers, 14 against Phoenix, and 16 against the Lakers, and he just came back from injury. So his presence has already been felt, and if the Grizzlies stand any chance in the playoffs and to get that 5 seed, he's got to be the focus of the offense right now.
Even if Mike Conley comes back, let's say, again, I'm being selfish here because I'll be in Memphis for this game, but let's say he shoots for the Saturday night game against Golden State with possibly history on the line and all eyes on Memphis. Let's say Conley shoots for that as his return to get a few games under his belt before the playoffs. Even if that's the case, you look at this team, and Conley has missed so many games. Brandon Wright has missed so many games. It's going to have to be on Zach. Do you think that he is physically capable? Because Zach has had injury issues as well, sore knee, lots of other things kind of going on. Obviously, you play a long season, and you're at the age that Zach is now, you know, as a veteran. You're going to have miles on the tires. Do you think he can physically do what Memphis needs him to?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. That's definitely been an issue with his age, all the injuries he's been dealing with. And definitely Memphis has to be careful not to overplay him. Like the last few games, he's played big minutes. But he's shown that he can play 9 in and 9 out and produce 9 in and 9 out. So hopefully he'll just take good care of his body and he'll hold up, because Memphis, I mean, they need him so much right now. He is him and Tony, they've got to stay healthy, because the Grizzlies cannot afford any more injuries, and you really can't rest guys right now. So you just got to hope he stays healthy at this point.
You're exactly right about that. Zach has played in 60 games, and he has logged over 1,700 minutes, 1,777
wow,
to be exact, according to basketballreference.com. So you look at those numbers, and he's third on the team in games played with that 60. Before I move on to that, just to finish, random trivia question, Grace, who do you think is number one on that list? Who do you think has appeared in the most games for the Memphis Grizzlies this season?
This season?
This season.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
It is.
I'm just going to take a shot in the dark. Matt Barnes?
Matt Barnes is second. That was a good guess. He's behind in
okay,
two games by Jermichael Green. Jermichael Green
oh,
has played 68 games for the Memphis Grizzlies. He leads the team in that number, which I just find fascinating. If you had told me at the beginning of the season that Jermichael Green would lead the team in games played, I might have laughed at you.
I probably would have too.
That's where we're at. That's where we're at with this team. But anyway,
the Jermichael Green era.
Exactly. Let's welcome it, the Jermichael Green era. But he is a guy who continues to be productive for this team. He leads the team in points for the season at 893. He is a monster on the glass still, 479 in rebounds, total rebounds for the team. Nobody else is within 100, and nobody else is within 117. Arkansas is second on the team in rebounds at 100 at 362. Zach had 479. So he is just a tremendous, tremendous piece of this Grizzlies roster now moving forward. And that's something to keep an eye on. Like you said, Grace, he's played a lot of minutes recently, and he's going to have to continue
yes,
to do that for Memphis to stay afloat and have a shot at that 5 seed. Because I think most folks would agree with what we said earlier. If they fall below the 5, they're most certainly done in the first round.
Yes.
You get a couple of playoff games at home, which are fun to go to. Don't get me wrong. I went to plenty in my time in Memphis, so I'm not knocking it. But at the same time, there's no real hope. If you find a way to get the Clippers, there is hope. Not saying
yes,
that's rational hope. In a 7-game series, the Clippers would still be picked, as well they should be. But you can get it to 6 games, or you can get it to 7 games, especially if Conley is able to come back and be productive. You have a shot. Any other series, they don't have any shot at all. So it's important
no,
to hold on to that 5, if at all possible. You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Again, I am your host, Joe Mullinax, joined on the show at this time by GrizzlyBearBlues.com senior contributor Grace Baker. She joins me here in the Grizzly Bear News segment. Follow her on Twitter if you don't already do so, at GraceBaker901. We'll get you out of here on this, Grace. Kobe Bryant played his last game against the Memphis Grizzlies in that 107-100 unfortunate win for the Lakers. But it was cool to see Kobe have some success. He hit a fadeaway over Tony Allen, the guy that he
yes,
said was his biggest challenge as a defender over the course of his career. So it was nice to see that one last time. just some thoughts about, obviously, people were disappointed, especially with staying up late. Thankfully, I was on spring break from my job this week, so I didn't have to worry about that as much. But, you know, a lot of people were upset with the loss, but what were your takeaways kind of watching Kobe? Probably, you know, maybe you watch on ESPN his last game or something, but for all intents and purposes, the last time.
Yeah, it was really cool watching him have a good, you know, have a good game. He had 20 points. It was just unfortunate it was against the Grizzlies and ended up resulting in a loss. But it was cool to see Tony Allen and Kobe Bryant face off for one last time. Kobe Bryant's made such an impact on the game and is, you know, he's such a legend. It was great seeing him one last time.
Yes, you're exactly right. It was cool to see him kind of perform at that level. And, you know, hopefully the Lakers will be able to rebuild from him kind of moving along here in the future. But it was cool to see one last time Kobe Bryant hit some shots, especially over Tony Allen. You don't want to see him hit him over Tony Allen. But, again, no. The rivalry is what I'm talking about here. Grace Baker, thank you so much for joining me tonight. I appreciate it. Continue the good work for our site and continue being you. I truly do enjoy what you do for the blog. So thank you so much. We'll have you on again in the future.
Thank you.
All right, absolutely. Have a good night, Grace.
You too.
All right, once again, ladies and gentlemen, that was Grace Baker, senior contributor over at grizzlybearblues.com. Follow her if you don't already do so on Twitter, at GraceBaker901. We carry on with Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, and I am so excited to say, ladies and gentlemen, that I have two giveaways for you wonderful listeners out there on the Blog Talk Radio airwaves. Very, very, very excited about tonight's show because not one, but two prizes will be given away to those that are listening. Well, one, for those that are listening live, rewarding the live listeners, and two, the second one, being for those that follow us on Twitter. Two great sponsors of the show, TickIQ and Fan Essentials. I will start with FanEssentials.net, tremendous subscription service of Grizzlies fan gear. Wonderful, wonderful deal. You don't have to go out and have to shop. I hate shopping. I hate going to the mall and you have to pick out these shirts, and some of them fit okay and other ones don't, and I just hate having to go into the – I just hate going to the store. I hate it. So you know what's nice about FanEssentials.net? You don't have to even worry about that. You just give them your size. They pick the gear for you. They ship it to your door. You open up the door, there it is on your front porch every month if you sign up for a monthly subscription to FanEssentials.net. And it's a heck of a deal starting at $14.99. You can use the promo right now on their site, GBBLive. Use that code to get yourself an even better deal, a discount on your subscription. And since you're listening, again, if you're listening live, at the end of the show, Fan Essentials Trivia is going live, ladies and gentlemen. I will ask the question, and the person, literally the first person who tweets at GBB Live and answers correctly the Grizzly Bear Blues Live Trivia Question of the Week, you get the one-month subscription. I've been trying to give away month subscriptions for weeks now, and nobody's able to answer the question right or nobody's chiming in. So I'm going to make it even easier for our wonderful listeners out there. All you have to do is log on to the Twitter machine, follow Grizzly Bear Blues Live, or not even, I hope you follow us already, and you can tweet at us the answer. And if you tweet the correct answer at us, ladies and gentlemen, you will get the FanEssentials.net membership for this, for a month. It's a one-month membership, and you'll get it for this week. Okay? So, that's FanEssentials.net. Make sure you're checking out their wonderful site. Our other giveaway tonight is from our sponsor, TickIQ, at TickIQ on Twitter. And this one's a big one. Okay, not the Fan Essentials isn't. They're a wonderful, wonderful sponsor of the show. But this one is a chance for you to get two tickets to the Grizzlies-Spurs game March 28th. TickIQ is a great ticket broker and ticket provider out there. You can log in and you can find the best tickets in the house, the best prices, the best deals over at TickIQ.com. And they are giving away through us or with us two tickets to Grizz-Spurs. I had about 15 people enter the contest on Twitter today, and I will do the drawing for those tickets at the end of the show. So once again, TickIQ.com and FanEssentials.net, two tremendous sponsors of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. We will do the trivia question for Fan Essentials and the giveaway of the tickets for TickIQ at the end of the show. Our next guest is a wonderful contributor over at Upside and Motor, one of the HP basketball sites. He also is a D-League specialist. This is a guy who, if you want to know what's going on in the NBA Developmental League, he is the follow for you. He is – we'll lead off with Russ Smith because he's a former Grizzly as well. But, you know, he's a good guy to talk to about these Memphis Grizzlies because so many D-League players have played for Memphis so far this season. So I'm excited to have him on for the first time, again, of Upside Motor, Mr. Chris Reichert. Chris, how are you doing?
Life's good, man. How are you?
Life's good. I like that. I like that. Life is good here as well, except for the fact that, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies have had 27 guys play for them this season. That's the most in about a decade, I believe.
That's a lot of guys, man. That's a lot of injuries. A lot of injuries.
It's been
crazy.
That
sounds like a D-League roster. It sounds like a D-League roster.
Several of them are. We'll talk about that here in a second. But, you know, it's hard to complain too much because obviously every team deals with some sort of injuries. The New Orleans Pelicans are in a similar situation. Not quite as bad as Memphis, but pretty darn close when it comes to health. Everybody has to deal with it, Chris, but it just feels like Memphis has been bit more than usual this season, and the numbers back that up.
Yeah, it's been rough for them. I mean, luckily they've been able to find, you know, some stop gaps here and there via the D League and some other guys via international ball with Farmar coming in. So it's been interesting for them for sure.
Old Farmar, we'll talk about him more in a moment here. But Farmar is the replacement for one of the guys that we're going to talk about, and I send out an outline at the beginning of the week to my guests so they know what we're going to discuss. He went off the other night, and we need to talk about him first, even though he's not on the outline. You know, Russ Smith, here's a guy who scored, forgive me, I saw 62, I think you said 67, was it 67 he scored?
He finished with 65.
65, thank you, okay. So 65 points for Russ Smith, new D-League record. This dude can score the rock clearly. All these other players have been called up from the D-League, not just by the Memphis Grizzlies, but from other teams. And Russ Smith continues to languish in the D-League after being released and waived by the Memphis Grizzlies. And here's what I understand it, but it's still just confounding to me, Chris. This is a dude who can score the basketball. It's the end of the season. There's plenty of teams that need these call-ups. And Russ Smith, a talented basketball player, remains in the D-League. At what point is that a wake-up call for Russ Smith? Because clearly it isn't about his basketball skill. That's not the reason he's not in the NBA right now, is it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing a lot of fans fail to realize is it's not, you know, a lot of these guys in the D-League are NBA talented. You know, they can play in the NBA. They're in the D-League for one reason or another, whether it be attitude, whether it be character issues, whether it be they can't pick up offensive or defensive schemes very well. You know, the talent level isn't usually the argument. I mean, you know, not everybody there could play in the NBA, but the top, you know, 50 or so guys could be on an NBA roster and could contribute. You know, it's usually smaller things. And I'm not saying – I don't want to say that Russ Smith has any of those issues, but usually that's what's keeping them from an NBA roster. A lot of these NBA teams will talk to previous NBA teams that these guys played for, or they'll even reach out to the D-League teams and say, hey, you know, give me some insight onto what is going on with this guy as a person, as a player on the court, off the court. You know, so all that stuff comes into play when they're looking at signing a guy from the D-League.
And in the case of Russ Smith, a lot of it is a combination of not necessarily I don't want to say character because I feel like character is strong, and obviously you don't know these guys personally. But some of it is from talking with people, work ethic related, which makes sense with a young guy, especially somebody like Russ Smith, who was such a star at Louisville. Obviously, maybe having some maturity issues coming to the NBA and now the D-League. And also part of it is the fact, like you said, Chris, and you're exactly right, when he was with the Memphis Grizzlies and people were excited about Russ, he could get his own, but he couldn't create for others. He literally couldn't complete a simple pass at times to Zach Randolph, who, as we were talking about in the first segment, right now is the best offense you got, is Zach Randolph, whether he's passing to a slasher or creating for himself with a jab step jumper. he literally couldn't make a simple pass. He would have so many turnovers that would override his ability to put the basketball in the basket. So it's a combination of those things for Russ, and I really hope that he finds a way to, you know, earn back the trust of an NBA front office. All it takes is one team to take a shot on a guy. I hope that happens for Russ Smith. You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. My guest at this time is Chris Reichert of Upside and Motor, or Upside Motor, excuse me, Upside and Motor. Make sure you're following him on Twitter, if you don't already do so, at Chris_Reichert, and that is R-E-I-C-H-E-R-T. Now let's get into what we were initially going to talk about. And you sent me a message, Chris, when I sent out the outline saying, you called them the Memphis Energy. I don't know if you need to fix that or not. And I did that on purpose because of the 27 guys that played for the Memphis Grizzlies this season, multiple, and I mean multiple, whether it's Xavier Munford, whether it is an Alex Stevenson, whether it is a Briante Weber, whether it is, you know, the list goes on and on of the guys who have played for the Grizzlies this season who were in the D-League. Jermichael Green is a former D-League product. You look, and obviously Russ Smith now, there's so many guys that played in the D-League this season that are now members of the Grizzlies. It's hard to keep track of all of these different dudes. And you look at who has played for the Grizzlies from these various D-League spots. What are your overall thoughts on them? Have they kind of held up to what you thought they would be, or what they were in the D-League at least?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty surprised with the debut of Weber, to be honest. I mean, I really like Briante Weber. I like him a lot. You know, his defense is kind of what he hangs his hat on, which is, you know, fits right in line there with Memphis. But, you know, his offense is still a ways away. And, you know, he had a really good debut. You know, he played like 40 minutes in his debut, which you don't normally see on with a 10-day call-up. But with the injuries, you know, he got that chance to start right away and, you know, made the most of it. They won the game. I think he had like 10 points, 7 assists, and five rebounds or something like that. So, I mean, he had a really good debut, and I was pretty not surprised in the sense of the numbers that he put up, because he is that kind of player that he contributes across the board. But just his poise, he looked really good out there. He looked comfortable to me. And I know they let him go back down to Sioux Falls. They only kept him for the initial 10-day. But I think he showed a lot. You know, he's still coming off the ACL injury that he had last year when he was playing for VCU. You know, he's only played half the year or so with Sioux Falls. But I really like Briante Weber. Subsequently, I love Xavier Munford as well. I've been kind of pining for Xavier Munford all season, so I was really happy to see him get a chance as well.
And Xavier Munford is a guy who, as I've watched him play, and I know others, Chris Harrington of the Commercial Appeal here in Memphis, Matt Arlicka, who is one of our great writers over at the site, and I agree with them. Of the guys that have been here, and I'm a big Briante Weber guy as well, I followed VCU living in Virginia. I knew what Weber is all about defensively. It was just his offensive game that was kind of a question for me. So you look at the guys that they've called up, and Xavier Munford is a guy, and this kind of ties into what we'll talk about later. I could see him sticking with the Memphis Grizzlies. Here's a dude who can do a lot of the things that the Memphis Grizzlies, you know, need help with.
Yeah, and he's explosive. You know, I mean, he's not a big name that guys, you know when they hear about D-League guys. He's not a Vander Blue or, you know, a Russ Smith that we talked about earlier, that people know that name. You know, Xavier Mumford's a guy that went to 2 junior colleges before making it to the University of Rhode Island and then going undrafted and playing about 18 minutes a game last year in the D-League. So now he's on the Memphis Grizzlies, which is, if you think about that, that's a crazy journey. You know, it speaks to his work ethic and how hard he's worked and how much he's listened to the people that have told him, hey, this is what you need to do to make it to where you want to be. And he's made those changes. He's got all the athletic tools that a guard needs. You know, he can shoot it. He can play the pick and roll. He's an average defender. He's not a great defender, but he doesn't hurt you there either. You know, and he runs the floor well. He finds open guys, and he's played with some talented guys in the past. He's played with Earl Clark and Terrico White, and guys who have had NBA experience. So I don't think he was really fazed by the move. And I'm really excited to hear that you guys like him there, man, because I've been loving him all season long in Bakersfield.
Obviously a small sample size. And again, shout out to basketballreference.com for the stats here. He's only played 44 minutes for the Grizzlies, which over 4 games equals to about 11 minutes a game. but he's shooting 40% from the field, 25% from three. That needs to be improved overall. But he's getting rebounds. You know, he's doing things. He's very good in terms of blocks. He's got four blocks, it looks like, in his time. And again, in just, you know, 44 minutes, he's got four blocks. That's a block a game, essentially, for him. He's doing some things that have really, you know, numbers don't always back up a guy's impact. You have to watch the games. And you can tell, as you said, Chris, through his skill set, that he's a dude who could possibly get a, you know, a contract similar to what Jamichael Green has with a team option that's very favorable to the team. But when you ask a guy, and again, you read articles about the D-League or you go to D-League games, I mean, if you're picking between making, you know, $800,000 playing on an NBA contract or making essentially a teacher's salary for making not knocking teachers, I am one, but I'm just saying, you know, they don't make a ton of money, if that, in the D-League, unless they are NBA, you know, guys that are just being sent down there to their affiliates. You really have to be thankful for that situation. So the D-League will continue to, and we talked about this last year with various Iowa Energy folks, this is a situation where every team is eventually going to have their own developmental area because it's so conducive to development, not just for a player, but also for scheme at large.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really substitute the in-game experience that these guys are getting. It's at a smaller level, of course, because it's the D-League, so the competition isn't NBA level. But the competition over the last 5 years has grown leaps and bounds. And it's like you said, I mean, I think one thing you said that I really agree with is you have to watch the games. If you're just looking at box scores and looking at, oh, Russ Smith had 65 points, maybe you missed that he also had 7 turnovers that game. You know, so 65 points looks great. They lose by 11, and he's got 7 turnovers. You know, so you need to watch the games, and I think that's key. Some guys, you know, a Tim Frazier, for example, might put up, you know, only 15 points, and you think, oh, that's not that great. You watch, he's clearly the best player on the court, you know, when he was playing in the D-League. So, you know, I think that's really important for people in the D-League. And not a lot of guys, you know, not a lot of people in general are watching right now, which is fine. You know, I think it's going to pick up eventually as it becomes more and more important to these NBA clubs and fans start to realize, hey, I'm going to see some of these guys up here eventually. I might want to watch them from time to time. So I think that's coming.
This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Monax. The voice that you heard before mine was that of Chris Reichert, Upside Motor contributor, D-League specialist. Follow him on Twitter if you do not already do so, at Chris_Reichert, R-E-I-C-H-E-R-T. Now, Chris, you do a great job posting after various D-League games the major performances of the night. Obviously, Jarnell Stokes has done some pretty good things in the D-League, so I see you tweet about him, former Memphis Grizzly. Obviously, the Russ Smith updates last night were very helpful for me and for other Grizzlies fans, or hurtful. I believe I might have shed a single tear as I saw that. But then, as you said, they lost the game, so you don't feel quite as bad. There's three guys in particular with the Iowa Energy that I'm interested in hearing your takes on, because there are three guys, well, two in particular, who either have played for Memphis in the past or seem to, all signs pointing to, have a role in the organization in the future. And then there's one guy that we're going to lead off with that I think, because it's the Iowa Energy, because it's the D-League, he's kind of flying under the radar right now in Memphis, and I'm really surprised by that because he is beloved in Memphis because he's a former Memphis Tiger. But in the 6 games he's played with the Iowa Energy, DJ Stephens is leading the team in net rating. He is a 108 offensive rating, 96.7 defensive rating. He is literally tearing it up for the Iowa Energy right now. This is a dude who you watch him in college, and he obviously has tremendous leaping ability, but in terms of actually playing the game of basketball, he was still very raw. It looks like he might be starting to figure it out, Chris.
I love DJ Stephens, man. I love DJ Stephens. He's so athletic. It's really unbelievable when you watch it. It's like people will gush over Zach LaVine. It's maybe not that level because he's taller than Zach LaVine. You know, he's 6'5", 6'6", and he's a bigger frame. But his leaping ability is unbelievable, and he uses it on both ends. You know, he gets blocks every single game that just get you out of your seat. He's got good size. I think the only issue with DJ Stephens is he's kind of a 6'5", 6'6", small forward. You know, he doesn't shoot it very well from outside. Like you said, he's pretty raw offensively. But he's starting to find himself in the right places. You know, you can tell when a guy is kind of in the right spot where they're supposed to be on offense, where they're supposed to be on defense, and he's figuring that out. But like you mentioned, since he's come to Iowa, they've really kind of let him loose, and he's playing, you know, 33 minutes a night and averaging 15-8 and shooting 50% from the floor. So, I mean, I don't know what else they could really ask of him. You know, he's doing amazing. The only thing I would say is I'd like to see him be a little bit more aggressive with that athleticism. He's only averaging about 2.5 free throws a game. And if you're playing 33 minutes and you're that athletic, I mean, you need to be getting to the line probably double that number. You know, I'd like to see him getting there about 5 times a game, showing that he's attacking the basket and using that athleticism to his benefit rather than maybe settling for some jump shots. But I love DJ Stephens. Like you said, he's kind of got a cult following there in Memphis, man. Anytime I tweet about DJ Stephens, it just takes off because somebody from Memphis basketball or somebody in the area, you know, retweets it or puts it out there, and it just goes crazy. So people love that guy, man. And he really is. He's still raw. I mean, he's 25. He's still a little bit raw, but he's starting to come around. You can see him putting the pieces together for sure.
True shooting percentage of 58.3. He's got a rebounding percentage of 12.5. I mean, this guy is doing some impressive things in Iowa, and it's worth watching. I'm telling you right now, this is a dude who maybe gets a call up at the training camp in the summer, and Memphis is going to be looking for a fifth big. You know, Jermichael Green, and you'll have, obviously, Brandon Wright, Jarrell Martin. So maybe they make a move with a Brandon Wright and they need a fifth guy. And maybe DJ Stephens can be that guy. It's going to be fascinating to watch it all play out. So that's DJ Stephens. Make sure that you are keeping up with the Iowa Energy, the D-League affiliate for the Memphis Grizzlies. If for no other reason, he's a beloved Memphis Tiger, Memphis. So he's a good guy to keep up with. Another guy that is worth keeping an eye on is a guy who has played for the Memphis Grizzlies this season, James Ennis. He actually played in 10 games for the Memphis Grizzlies. He played, let me make sure I'm exactly right on this as I look up basketballreference.com. He played 40 minutes in 10 games, so not a ton of time with the big league club. He got waived when all the injury issues were happening. He kind of rounded out back in his way. Grizzlies retained his rights as he goes back to Iowa. And here's a guy who hasn't had the dominant performances that you would expect an NBA player to have consistently. His net rating, and I'm looking at their D-League page right now, in the 21 games that he has played, is only a .3. So he's essentially a net neutral guy. You would expect a little bit more dominance from an NBA player, right?
Yeah, and I think that goes to a little bit of what I was mentioned earlier about the competition level. I think in years past, NBA guys would come down and just dominate, just clearly be the better players on the court. And I think now what you're seeing is NBA teams are sending those guys down to work on specific things. So they're not just going out there to put up big numbers or go out there and say, hey, do whatever you can to help Iowa win. You know, they're going out there and saying, James, this is what we need you to work on. We need you to work on corner three-pointers, or we need you to work on pick-and-roll offense, shooting off the dribble, or whatever it may be. And you can see the difference because he was averaging about 18 points a game when he was on assignments. And since he's been part of Iowa, you know, he's averaging 23 points and 8 rebounds. So he's more aggressive. He's playing a little bit more freely. He's shooting about 3 or 4 more shots a game. You know, and so now he has to kind of reprove himself to another NBA club because he needs another NBA deal. You know, so you can see the switch kind of change when somebody changes from an assignee to being actually part of the D League now, you know, because that's a big distinction, you know, that's a big difference. So you can see kind of the light switch for him, and he's playing, you know, like I said, much more free. He's playing kind of carefree basketball, and I think that has really helped him look a lot better these last couple games.
And finally, this last name, again, I lovingly call him the Memphis Grizzlies backup point guard of the future. He's certainly not the current one. They've had plenty of others come through. But Andrew Harrison is a guy who they've really kind of committed to staying down on the D-League team, the Iowa Energy, for the entire season. He was a Grizzlies second-round pick this past draft. And he's had a good season. His assist percentage is pretty impressive, 22.5%. His assist-to-turnover ratio isn't that bad, 1.55. He does a very good job scoring the basketball, being aggressive. it's Andrew Harrison, and I am interested in your take on him because Mike Conley, assuming he gets re-signed, he returns. I'm sure they'll probably bring in a second guy. Maybe they bring back Mario Chalmers. I've floated the name Jeremy Lin out there the past couple of seasons because I'd love to see him in Memphis, but his price tag might be too high. So Andrew Harrison's probably going to have a role on the Memphis Grizzlies next season, Chris. I'm interested in your take on how he has progressed as he has played in, I believe, the most games as a Iowa Energy player, except for Terry Wisnant, Wisnant. So you got Andrew Harrison at 41 games. He is the second most games played for the Iowa Energy this season. How has he come along as he's played in the D-League?
It's really surprising, you know, because I wasn't very high on Harrison coming in. Just watching him at Kentucky, you know, him and his brother went to Kentucky with lots of hype, and I don't know that they had a disappointing career at Kentucky, but I don't think either of them really exploded like maybe some people thought they would. You know, so I wasn't super high on him, but he's improved. I mean, it's night and day. If you go back and watch a Kentucky game from last year, go watch a mid-season Kentucky game of him and watch one now, like I said, it's a 180. I mean, he's so much better with the basketball in his hands. He's making the right plays. Like you said, his assist percentage is great. He's super aggressive. He gets to the line about 7 times a night. You know, he's the catalyst for them offensively. So James Ennis, you know, is averaging a little bit more points than him now. But Harrison is kind of the guy. He's the barometer for them. You know, when he plays well, they usually win. He's still a little bit inconsistent because he's a rookie, you know, so that's going to happen. He's played 41 games this year. He might have played, 36, 37, you know, for Kentucky. So, you know, he's kind of, you know, they all kind of hit that wall. I think he could easily be their third point guard next year for Memphis. I mean, easily. Right now he could be. If they weren't committed to having him down there all season as a draft rights player, I think they would have called him up already. You would have seen him called up before some of these other people. Because he's just been that good. You know, he's been very solid. His playmaking has been really good. And I really am impressed with the shot selection. You know, the shot selection at Kentucky for me wasn't that great. And you see that a lot with young guys who are supposed to score a lot of points. You know, they take some bad shots here or there, but he's really kind of honed that in. And that's one of the more impressive things for me is that he's matured really quickly in my eyes.
And that's only something that you can get with that in-game experience. And he certainly would not have gotten that, except for all of the injuries that have occurred. If he had been a guy on the roster from day one, he never would have gotten that experience in Memphis. You can't predict the injury situation that has happened to the Grizzlies. I'll get you out of here on this, Chris. Of all the names that we talked about, Xavier Munford and Briante Weber and, you know, DJ Steffens and Andrew Harrison and James Ennis, Andrew Harrison, I agree with you, I think will be on this roster next season for the Memphis Grizzlies. Outside of him, are any other of these guys names that we should look for? Maybe a Xavier Munford getting signed for the year? Maybe any of these guys getting a tryout or a call-up for training camp? Who should Grizzlies fans really keep their eyes on in the months ahead as the offseason begins here, probably in about a month or so, for the Memphis Grizzlies?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, I think Munford is a guy that they could possibly keep on for the remainder of the year if he has another solid 10 days. I think they'll probably give him another 10-day. You know, if he has another good 10-day, I could see them saying, hey, we're going to keep you on for the remainder of the season, probably just this season, and then give him, you know, that camp, say, hey, come to camp in the offseason. We want you to compete for that third point guard spot, you know, or possibly they keep a fourth point guard with all these injury issues they've had, or maybe they think Harrison's a backup point guard and they keep both of them and don't bring in somebody else. Who knows? But I think Munford is a guy that you should watch. I really like Alex Steffensen as well. I only watched his debut with the Grizzlies. I haven't seen anything since. And I know he put up a big double-double. He didn't shoot great. It was like 5-for-17. So obviously he wasn't finishing like they would like him to. But he's a big body. He can play solid defense. He can rebound. You know, he sets really good screens, which is a very undervalued skill for pro basketball. You know, he's already 28, so he kind of is what he is. But I like Steffensen a lot as well.
Those are all good names. And Steffensen, he did a tremendous job on the offensive glass in particular. Really a talented group. And as you said, and this kind of brings our conversation full circle back to Russ Smith, it's not about talent. A lot of these guys have the talent to be in the NBA. It's about fit. It's about maturity. It's about the opportunities that you're given and taking advantage of them. And sometimes it takes guys longer. I mean, Jermichael Green's a great example of that. He's having a great season for the Memphis Grizzlies, looks to be a key part of their rotation now and in the future, even when the team is healthy. And that is a testament to kind of grinding it out and finding the best place for you. And hopefully for a couple of these guys, it'll be in Memphis with the Grizzlies. Chris Reichert, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. It was a great, great conversation, and I look forward to having you on in the future.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Appreciate it, man.
Absolutely. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that was Chris Reichert of Upside Motor. Make sure you're following him on Twitter, the D-League Specialist, at Chris_Reichert, R-E-I-C-H-E-R-T. We carry on with Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Monax, and before I get to our preview of the games ahead for the week, as well as our final guest of the evening, I will give a shout-out once again to our two tremendous sponsors, TickIQ and Fan Essentials. Two giveaways coming up at the end of the show. We'll hold our drawing for the TickIQ.com tickets, two tickets to the Grizzlies and San Antonio Spurs game on March 28th, this coming Monday. Folks tweeted in, they retweeted, they followed us on Twitter at GBB Live. Thanks to everyone who did that. I have the drawing bowl sitting here next to me. I will do that drawing at the end of the show. You will get those two tickets before the game on Monday. TickIQ, tremendous ticket site. Make sure you're checking them out at TickIQ.com. I will also do our Fan Essentials trivia question of the day. Make sure you're checking out FanEssentials.net. Tremendous subscription service of Memphis Grizzlies and other sports teams gear. Again, I hate going to the store. You can ask my wife. I hate going and trying on things, and I hate having to pick things out. FanEssentials.net takes out all of that for you. They pick out the gear. All you have to do is give them your size and your address and, of course, paying for it, and they will ship you once a month a wonderful box of Grizzly goodies for you to enjoy, T-shirts and all sorts of other swag. You don't have to pay if you listen to Grizzly Bear Blues Live and participate in the question of the day. I will read that question. Literally, the first person that tweets the correct answer to me will be given the one-month free subscription to FanEssentials.net. So make sure you're listening at the end of the show, not just for the ticket giveaway, but also for the trivia question. If you weren't able to enter the ticket giveaway, you can still come away from Grizzly Bear Blues Live with a nice one-month subscription to FanEssentials.net. Quick preview of the next games between our next show, between this show and our next show. We will next record live on the Blog Talk Radio airwaves on March 31st, same time, 6:30 p.m. Central Time. The Grizzlies are done with Thursday night games, at least until the playoffs start, so we can stay on our Thursday time slot. The next three games, and the Grizzlies have a little bit lightening of the schedule in terms of games played, not in terms of competition. The next three games, two of them are essentially impossible. You're at San Antonio on Friday night, where San Antonio has lost in some ungodly number, 43 games or something like that. So they play the San Antonio Spurs and the Monsters, LaMarcus Aldridge and Kawhi Leonard, and Tim Duncan is still playing well when he plays, and Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, these dudes, they're ridiculous. We're about to talk with Andy Liu of Golden State of Mind. The Spurs are having almost as good of a season. So it really is tremendous, the historic season that the Spurs are having in San Antonio. Oh, and by the way, not only do you play them Friday night, you also play them Monday night at home at the FedEx Forum, which somebody will be winning two tickets to here at the end of our show here tonight with the TickIQ giveaway. But they play San Antonio twice in 4 days, essentially. You have to imagine those are two losses because of how good the Spurs are. And then the next, if we're being honest with ourselves, realistic opportunity for this roster to win a basketball game is against Denver Wednesday night and the Nuggets. Now, as we talked about in the first segment, Memphis has to find a way to get to around 5-5. If they can do that, the 5 seed is essentially clinched for them. Portland would have to go win a ridiculous amount of games, 9-1 or something like that, to catch the Grizzlies, and they're probably not capable of doing that, even with an easier schedule. So 5-5 should be the goal. How realistic is that? Probably not very realistic. If you want to get to my realistic number of 3-7, you have to find a way to beat the Denver Nuggets Wednesday night. It's not a back-to-back. You're at home. Even with the roster situation, they should find a way to beat Denver and the Nuggets in FedEx Forum Wednesday night. So 1-2 should be the goal over these next three games. Is it possible that they pick off San Antonio? Sure, it's possible. It's also possible that I float away on a rocket ship to a universe where Jeff Green is the best player and Rudy Gay is still a Memphis Grizzly and coexists with Zach Randolph perfectly fine. That is all possible as well. So the Grizzlies have a puncher's chance, but it's certainly a Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson situation where maybe it doesn't end so favorably for the Grizzlies. Forgive my negativity, but you have to be honest here, folks. I mean, San Antonio, outside of Golden State, is one of the best teams in the history of the NBA. You're about to see them twice in a row with a team that is made up of literally three D-League players at this point, or two or three D-League players. So it's going to be tough for the Grizzlies to find a way to win one of those. If they can, fantastic. The key over the next week should be picking off Denver in Memphis on Wednesday night. My final guest this evening, excited to have him on the program. I had a chance to talk with him several times last season as the Memphis Grizzlies took on the Golden State Warriors in a pretty epic playoff series, at least until the Warriors got pissed off and won three games in a row. But watching Golden State play this year has been truly remarkable. We haven't talked a ton about them on the program so far this season, but we are going to do it tonight. We're excited to welcome from SB Nation's Golden State of Mind, the Golden State Warriors blog, staff writer, Mr. Andy Liu. I left out of your introduction, Andy, expert troll. I left that out. Expert troll.
I think that's pretty much all I'm known for nowadays. Not so much the writer part, not so much the media member part or anything like that. Really, I'm just online here to goof around. How's it going?
Now, I have to be honest, Andy, you're pretty fantastic at it. And again, you look at the historic seasons that have been played in the NBA. And that's literally what we're talking about here, is the history of the National Basketball Association. And right now, it's the Golden State Warriors. It's the 95 and 96 Bulls who they continue to chase. And believe it or not, again, it's remarkable. Below them is the San Antonio Spurs of this season. So we're talking about truly historic times. If the Memphis Grizzlies were playing this well, I probably would be kind of a troll too. So it's hard to give you too much of a hard time, Andy.
And it's honestly, a lot of it is brought about to where when I covered the team a couple years ago in Mark Jackson's last year, when I was more of a fan back then, I mean, believe it or not, I was much more of a fan back then. Now I'm more, I kind of have fun with all of this. I used to have just a lot of measured responses, you know, like nuanced analysis, kind of, you don't necessarily want to say anything too crazy. You don't want to dig deeper into topics and kind of all of that. Kind of threw that away. Saw that go by the wayside this season, mainly because it's just more fun. Don't think the Warriors will ever be like this again, at least not, in the next 5 years. 5 years from now, it's not going to be like this. If it is, then, it's going to be great. But, this is like pretty much the pinnacle of how great a basketball team can be, and how great a season can be. So I figured I might as well have fun. And it also doesn't hurt that, there's a lot of criticism, not a lot, but there has been criticism by, older players, retired players, fans that, have never seen anything like this before. So it's kind of fun to poke fun at that. And especially at, other fan bases like the Cavs, the Clippers, the Rockets, and all that. So it's all entertainment.
Well, we appreciate in Memphis that you haven't been too hard on us. Now we still have two games to play against the Warriors. So maybe you guys will. And as I said earlier in the show, there's a realistic chance that the Golden State versus Memphis game on April 9th, which I will be in attendance at, could be for history. So it's we might be welcoming a firestorm here in the next couple of weeks. But, and this, I know you talk about on Twitter the Cavs fans who say they didn't have Kyrie in Love. And, you make a pretty good joke of that. But you look at this team, and they literally – talking about Hall of Fame, you want to see it consistently and all that stuff. Like, the Spurs have several Hall of Fame players, Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, and obviously a Hall of Fame coach in Greg Popovich. The Warriors could very realistically be the modern version of that if they're able to keep the core of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green together. And you look at the success that they've had, what has it been like for you guys at Golden State of Mind? And again, I'm not – this isn't blowing smoke up your ass because it's just a fact. This is literally, to this point, the greatest NBA season in terms of record, in terms of overall everything that is measured, aside from the 95-96 Bulls. This is the best that has ever happened. What has it been like to follow this team, to follow the opposing fan bases at away games, coming to watch Steph Curry warm up hours before the game? It's literally half full sometimes. It has to be remarkable. Like you said, 2 or 3 years ago, this team wasn't sniffing the playoffs. Now they are literally on the precipice of history.
I mean, yeah, that, it's incredibly fascinating. I mean, it's really Steph. A lot of it is Draymond has become a great player as compared to the past couple of seasons. He's gotten a lot of publicity. Klay Thompson has gotten actually a lot better this year than last and the previous ones as well. And the rest of the team has improved. But it's really, when it comes down to it, it's really Stephen Curry. I mean, a lot of this, you know, those fans, they're arriving to watch, you know, the show, that's the Warriors. It is the Warriors, yes, but it's that one guy. And I think that I've said this a lot before, most fascinating part of all of this is that one guy looks like you, you know, me or anybody else that's living anywhere in the world. And that's what makes it, I think, most endearing to fans because, and this point has been made a lot, I walk up to Steph, you know, and he's maybe 2 inches, I'm 6'1 in shoes, and he's about maybe 2 inches taller than me, 3 inches taller than me. You look over and you see Draymond Green, and he's like 6'5", you know? These guys, when they walk onto a basketball court, they look like any other team. They even, you know, they're not especially big, maybe outside of Andrew Bogut. These guys look like they could pass as like a Kentucky, you know, University of Kentucky team. But once the ball goes up in the air, it's over. I mean, they're incredible. They're so much better in terms of IQ, passing, shooting, all of that. And it boils down to, I think, Steph Curry and what has changed in the last couple of years, because Steph Curry himself believed he was going to be this great, but nobody else did, not even his own family. So it's one of the things where I just in the media itself, it's tripled, it's quadrupled. My coworkers are asking me what time the gates open. That has never been a question before. Nobody ever wants to, unless you're tailgating, but that's more of a football thing. Nobody has ever really asked or wondered, hey, when's the gates going to open? And I think that some of this has even gotten caught in opposing teams by surprise. I remember in Washington where a lot of the fans were annoyed because they didn't open the gates in time, and all the fans ended up, or at least half the fans ended up missing, you know, the entire Steph Curry warm-up show. And a lot of this himself is Steph Curry is putting on more of a show. He knows this. He sees this. He's done this warm-up. He's done these warm-ups before. About, you know, a couple of years ago, he didn't do it to this extent, but as the crowds have gotten bigger, he's shooting from further. So now he usually just does 3-point shots, dribbling exhibitions, but now he's shooting, you know, pull up threes from 36, you know, he's shooting half court style, like their normal set shots. He's shooting rainbow shots from behind the backboard, you know, that hallway shot. So he's making this a show. And it's all for the fans, and that's what makes it crazy, that this guy who looks like, you know, your prototypical point guard, you know, that D1 guy that you probably played against or with in high school, you know, same size as Steph Curry, but it just turns out that Steph Curry is the best player in the world. And I think that a lot of the Warriors' greatness is, well, most of it, I would say, no offense to anyone else on the team. It's this guy that's what makes it so entertaining, at the end of the day.
And you make a couple of interesting points there. The first one being using Washington and the Wizards as an example, because I can tell you I live in the Washington, D.C. area. I grew up here. People could give a crap less about the Washington Wizards. That was probably the most excited that people were to go to a Washington Wizards game in a very long time. Even when they were in the playoffs and Paul Pierce hit that big shot and I called game, and people didn't really care. It's the power of Steph and these Warriors is a lot like the Beatles. And again, this is not hyperbole here, ladies and gentlemen. These guys are having a historically tremendous season. Look at games. Look at the records. Look at how they match up with those historic Bulls. Look at the numbers. It is really remarkable what these Warriors are doing. So your point about opposing fan bases is a very good one. And I also think that you're exactly right about the fact, you know, Draymond Green, whatever his listed size is, listed height, take 2 inches off of that. He's not that tall. Steph Curry, like you said, I'm 6'2", 6'3", with shoes on. I'm as tall as Steph Curry, if not taller than him. So this is a team that people can get behind because of the fact that they don't, you know, it's an everyman kind of thing. Not saying that Steph Curry isn't immensely talented. Clearly he is. But people come and watch him perform, and it is a performance. He busted his tail for years working on his handle and working on his shot. None of this is just magic. This is all hard work and whatever you believe in, given talent, God-given talent, manifesting itself in a perfect way, in a perfect time, in a social media era where everything can be vined and tweeted and YouTube and enjoyed. This is just the perfect storm, and it's amazing, Andy, when you look at all of this history that is being made by the Golden State Warriors. Let's throw back Thursday here a little bit. Rewind to about 11 months ago, and the Golden State Warriors were down 2-1 to the Memphis Grizzlies. It's a point guard, and Mike Conley with literally a broken face, all right? And they were depending on Jeff Green, and they were depending on Courtney Lee, guys that are no longer on the roster. Marc Gasol is obviously out for the year. The Grizzlies look a lot different now than they did then. But let's go back to that time when Memphis was competing with Golden State. And as I said, in fairness, Golden State, you know, blew open the doors the next three games on their way to an NBA championship. Clearly the better team. But what is different about Golden State now as opposed to that low point when, you know, as I said earlier in the show, so many Golden State fans point to that series and say that was kind of the jumping off point to what Golden State is experiencing now. So what changed? How are the Warriors different from that point to now?
That's a great question, because I think that game in the past season and about, you know, about 70-80% of this season, in the past two seasons, though, or, you know, that amount, that's been the lowest point of these Golden State Warriors. Now, you know, low is relative, but for these guys, yeah, they were a little bit, you know, shaken on the road, you know, taking two consecutive losses. Steph was missing open shots. He was hesitating on shots. Clay was doing the same. And their big guys were, you know, not getting bullied a little bit, but getting handled. And so the way they recovered from that was a coaching adjustment. And I think a lot of this team is that their coaches are so great and they're so much better. They're so much better than the other team. You guys have one. You guys have a very, very, very good coach in Dave Yeager itself, who's putting together some type of MASH unit that's somehow winning games that I'm not sure I understand how that's happening. But that's a testament to him as well. And a lot of this is how they've become so great is that they're willing to buy into that coaching, where Steve Kerr, and I always say this is the most underrated aspect of the Warriors, is how synonymous that their coaching staff and their front office and the players work together. Which, you know, there is trouble at times, especially with the Dre tirade that, you know, went up in OKC. But with the way they work together, there's not Kerr relates to everyone and he treats everyone differently, but in a good way. So he knows how to treat each and every person. He treats Draymond like yesterday, he said that at halftime against the Clippers, where, you know, they were only up by 2 points. At the end of the halftime speech, he was just like, "Hey, I don't have anything left to say, guys. There's nothing left for me to say. Does anyone have something to say? Draymond, do you have something?" You know, because he knows that Draymond's usually the guy that's screaming at people at halftime. So he directly points him out. And it's just the way Steve Kerr does it, to where he knows, however, he Luke Walton is there talking to Draymond Green. Ron Adams is working with James Michael McAdoo. It's not one of those things where it's only the stars that are getting treated. So I feel like that's one of the bigger reasons why they're so great. To answer your question, though, to what has changed at this point, is that they know that regardless of what situation they're in, they can win because of that series. Now, they were in that situation against the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I don't think any of those guys were scared of what's happening. Against the Grizzlies, they said, "Okay, you know, this is, I don't know how we're going to come back from this. We're going to try to do something different." And they did, and it worked. Against the Cavs, they said, "Look, we're just missing open shots. They're slowing down the game a little bit. All we're going to have to do is pick up the pace, go small, and we're going to win the series." And that's what happened. And that's led into this season where, hey, even if they're down 20 points in the fourth quarter like they were against the Nuggets, hey, we have no fear at all. We're going to come back. They did so against the Clippers. They ended up losing that Nuggets game. But they're just, no matter what, I referenced the game against the Thunder. at home a couple weeks ago. It was a tight game. They were playing a little sloppy, and they were down by 10 in the third quarter, and they were still throwing balls down court, Hail Mary passes, shooting step-back threes, wild shots, taking, you know, on defense, kind of taking wild gambles. They just played the way they would usually. They would make those same passes, make those same backdoor cuts that, you know, sometimes lead to turnovers. Exact same thing. They don't play tight anymore because they know that no matter what happens, unless they're dead, unless they actually lose the game, they haven't lost the game yet. And in that game in itself, the bench came in the fourth quarter and blew out the Thunder and took a 10-15 point lead, and from then on the game was over. So you can just see that this team, they know that it really doesn't matter. No matter what happens, they think they're going to win. And I think that's what's changed to where they're not going to be shaken up anymore, especially in the postseason.
You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Monax. My guest at this time is Andy Liu, a staff writer at SB Nation's Golden State of Mind. Make sure you're following him on Twitter, especially as the NBA playoffs get underway, at Andy KHLIU. Now, Andy, the playoff picture, again, I know being up at the top, it's probably so hard for Golden State Warriors fans to look down upon the sorry bottom feeders that are the rest of the conference outside of San Antonio. But in fairness, San Antonio, again, having a historically great season as well. They actually have a better overall offensive and defensive efficiency net rating than Golden State does, at least at the moment. It's close, but, you know, San Antonio is going to be a tough series for Golden State. You might disagree with that, but, of course, as we said, expert troll. Golden State's clearly the favorite, not saying anything about that. But as we go below Golden State and San Antonio, you know, the likely Western Conference Finals matchup that might as well be the NBA Finals matchup, as far as I'm concerned, I think either of those teams will beat the tar out of Cleveland in the finals if Cleveland gets there. But you look at the rest of the Western Conference playoff picture, I'm curious as to your thoughts. We'll start outside of Memphis. You look at the teams, obviously Portland playing better basketball. We all assume they'll make the playoffs. But there's two teams in the Western Conference that are currently in the playoffs that have a losing record. You've got Dallas at 35-36, and you've got Utah at 35-36. And then Houston is a half game behind Utah as we record this podcast at 35-37. So they're just a game behind in the loss column because they played an extra game. So of those three teams, Andy, who do you think are the two that are going to survive? Because assuming Memphis makes the playoffs, they would have to have a catastrophic collapse to not make it. And assuming Portland makes the playoffs, because of all the teams that I just mentioned, those five bottom feeders, as I lovingly put them, Memphis, Portland, Dallas, Utah, and Houston, you can argue that Portland is the best of those five right now. So assuming that those two make it, the next two, Dallas, Utah, Houston, who gets those last two seeds?
Oof. Without looking so much at the schedule, the two teams that I think are the better teams, and, you know, obviously the ones that are playing better right now, gonna probably have to go with the take the Mavs out. I'm probably gonna go with the Rockets, who, as dysfunctional as they are still somewhat healthy. And when they are healthy, and, you know, as Jekyll and Hyde as they are, you know, they can win some games. So I'll go with them. And then I'll go with the Jazz, mainly because I don't necessarily like watching them play basketball, but I can appreciate that they're really good at playing basketball. So they're really good on defense. They're getting healthier. Rodney Hood is really good, which I didn't see coming, at least not this quickly. Gordon Hayward is one of my favorite players. And if they can ever figure out how to stagger Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors correctly, they'll have a monster offensive team to go with that defense. That's incredible. So I'll go with the Jazz, who I think is one of the teams that I could take one or two games from the Warriors if the Warriors goof around too much. So I'll go with those two. And the Mavs are just a little bit, you know, they've got 25 point guards that are all pretty bad. You know, Chandler Parsons, who's battling an injury. And they play Dirk at center, which is that's rough, man. Rick Carlisle is a great coach. I think he's probably the third best coach in the NBA behind Kerr and Popovich in my mind. But what can he do? There's really not much. They've had a good season. The injuries hurt. The fact that no player wants to sign with them, which is weird, hurts. And yeah, so I'm going to go with those two. And they'll hope the Jazz stay healthy, because I think they're fun. I just wish they can get guys back together and have another ball handler, really, on offense.
It's fascinating when you look at how the playoffs played out last year, and obviously Golden State beat Houston to make the NBA Finals there in the Western Conference Finals. That might be your 1-8 matchup this year. It might be Golden State against the Houston Rockets in the first round, 1 seed versus 8. Does that worry? And again, I know, and you can answer this, I won't even consider it trolling, especially in the first round. Do any of those teams really worry you? Utah, Dallas, Houston? Obviously, if the Grizzlies somehow fell to the 8 seed, they wouldn't worry you, and I wouldn't expect them to, given how they are health-wise.
Yeah.
But of the three that are in that mix right now, do any of them really scare you in terms of taking, like you said, a couple of games from Golden State?
I was thinking about this yesterday. I think Danny LaRue, one of the other Warriors guys, he was saying he was ranking the Warriors' opponents in the first round. And, yeah, honestly, I said, what does it matter at this point, right? They're going to have home court. You know, these are going to be young, inexperienced teams, whoever they're going to play, be it Portland, be it Utah or Houston. Well, Houston's not inexperienced, but they haven't won a game against the Warriors in 25 years. So it's like, well, so that's going to be tough. So it's going to be where I guess Houston, you know, because they're experienced, they can keep games close and they can win one or two there. But with Utah and Portland, it's, you know, they're going to lose game one, likely going to win game two. And then when it's 2-0 hole, it's like these young guys, I've never seen anything like this before. It's just, well, what's going to happen from there? It's probably going to be a sweep or one of those gentlemen sweeps kind of things going on. I think the matchups matter a lot more in the second round. And I think that's when the Warriors are going to get to play the Clippers, and OKC is going to get stuck with the Thunder, who the Spurs can handle, but you just never know in a short series. We've seen the Thunder run over the Spurs before, and that was when the Spurs had won actually like 22 games in a row or something like that, way back when. So that'll be tough. And that's what the Warriors want. They don't necessarily want to play the Thunder in the second round. They'll win regardless. It's just a matter of how many games it'll take. And, you know, for Warriors fans, or if you're a Spurs fan, before that Western Conference Finals matchup between those two teams, who's going to be the one that's more rested? Who's going to be the one that's, you know, maybe battling injuries because they've got older players like the Spurs or something like that? Because the Spurs have depth, but that depth really matters a lot less when it's when there's only a finite amount of games left.
And no back-to-backs, of course. So that'll be interesting.
Playoffs.
And the Thunder-Spurs matchup will be fascinating to watch, because athleticism has always given San Antonio fits in the past. Like you mentioned, Oklahoma City has beaten the Spurs before. But who do you put Kawhi on? Do you put Kawhi on Russell Westbrook, who's having a tremendous season? And obviously that would shut down Russ to an extent, to the extent that you can shut down Russ. But now you've got Kevin Durant kind of wandering as a free-ranging monster. It's going to be interesting to see how Popovich and how the X's and O's, and of course Billy Donovan in his first playoff run, how he executes that as well is going to be really interesting to see. Andy, who do you there was an article on GrizzlyBearBlues.com today from Matt Bishop talking about playoff probabilities for the Grizzlies. Do you see the Grizzlies holding on to the 5 seed, or do you think they're going to drop?
I the rest of the West is so shaky where I can see them holding. I don't understand how they're doing it, Joe. You're going to have to – I don't understand.
Dave Yeager's a phenomenal coach, if you put it. That's one of the major reasons why. And Zach Randolph had a triple-double against the Clippers.
I know. I saw the side tangent. A lot of Randolph is Zach Randolph, which I always say that is not – and if anything, Julius Randle, that's for another time. But yeah, I think that for the Grizzlies, I think they can hang on to the 5 seed. Yes. And I think I wanted to point one thing out because I thought it was fascinating. I don't necessarily like Lance Stephenson, who isn't a good person, but he was miscast as a Los Angeles Clipper, like all their players are, in the wrong role. Because he was asked to basically create, you know, with like 3 seconds at a time, and, you know, act as a spot up shooter, you know, and a defender, and an ace defender. Now, as a Grizzly, they're letting him not do whatever he wants, but being more comfortable with with the ball, because there is something to be said to where some players just need that comfort to operate, good and bad, obviously. If he takes 8 or 9, 10 dribbles, as we've seen a lot in those lines, things could go south. But if you give him the ball and he's comfortable, he's going to start making rhythm plays out there. And when he starts to make rhythm plays, he's a very, you know, he's an above-average basketball player, like the one he was as an Indiana Pacer. So that's helped a lot. I don't necessarily think that he would be the same player if guys weren't injured, so there's a little bit more of a give and take there. But with those injuries, they're giving him the ball more and they're letting him cook, and that's pretty, I mean, that's pretty awesome, you know, from an on-court perspective, and that's helped this team as well. And as you said, I mean, with Dave Joerger, it's I know you guys know more than me, so it's going to be more of an X's and O breakdown into why this is happening. But I really like the Lance Stephenson getting into a rhythm, having him as a playmaker, and that being a huge thing, because a lot of the times in the NBA, a lot of players are just misused. It's not that they're bad. They're just not put in the right position to succeed, because not every player is a superstar where, you know, hey, Steph, you can play on the Sixers, or you can play on the Pelicans, or you can play on the Warriors. Either way, you're going to be great. You know, not every player is going to be like that. And a lot of players, you have to put them in that position to succeed, like the Spurs do, like the Warriors do, like all the great teams do. So that's one of the things I wanted to point out that I thought was pretty fun.
Well, Lance Stephenson has been phenomenal. There's no doubt about that, especially considering the situation in Charlotte and then, of course, with the Clippers. He's been remarkable for Memphis. But how he'll look, the question, and I wrote an article about this last week, Andy, is it's a problem for Memphis because now the craziness – when that trade went down, which was a huge win for Memphis in hindsight, of the first-round pick in 2019 plus Stephenson for Jeff Green, you know, it was the first-round pick and then Lance Stephenson. Even the press release was, the Memphis Grizzlies have acquired a 2019 first-round pick and Lance Stephenson for Jeff Green. You know, that was the tone. But Lance Stephenson has been a big part of them holding this thing together, and that $9.4 million team option is looking less crazy. I think it's still kind of crazy because you can't ignore the 300 previous games and, you know, the fact that he had one really good season in six. He's improved and all that. There's been debate among Grizzlies fans, but you're right to bring up Stephenson. He's kind of been a topic of debate the past few days. We'll get you out of here on this, Andy. Golden State is the favorite, as I mentioned. All signs kind of point to, although I agree with you, the Thunder will be a tougher matchup for the Spurs than maybe folks would like to admit. But all signs point to a San Antonio-Golden State series. Outside of the Spurs, is there anybody who can beat Golden State in a seven-game series or even maybe just beat them twice? I know you mentioned the Thunder. Is there anybody else outside of those two teams, like maybe the Clippers, that really give you the shakes, or do you think it's going to be not a cakewalk because the Spurs or the Thunder will probably compete a good bit, but essentially Golden State will get to the finals without really sweating out a game seven?
Yeah, I see, this is where I oscillate between my old personality and my new one. Old Andy would have said, yeah, I mean, I'm going to give a chance to the Cavs here if they can get it together, if they can put their offense together and defense, if LeBron would stop messing around on Twitter and Instagram and actually play basketball. Yeah, that would be
nice. Snapchat now,
and now he's on Snapchat as well. No, I kid, but he's been actually playing really well lately. But yeah, it's more of, I mean, they got Channing Frye to duplicate what Kevin Love does. That team is a mess at this point. Not a mess, they're really good, but as compared to what they will do or can do against the Warriors, they are a relative mess. And then older me would have said, you know, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook can steal a game here or there. The Spurs can absolutely win a game because they're the Spurs. But, you know, the new Andy just says it just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense that a team can win three games against, you know, the Warriors, not to mention four. They haven't lost two games in a row this year. They pushed themselves so hard. Their goal is to not lose two games in a row. I don't understand how they would lose a series. Now, to break down that Spurs series, at home they won by 30. Tim Duncan didn't play. So they went on the road. Tim Duncan didn't play, and they lost by about 8 points. Now, that being said, I'm going to give that Kyrie and Love excuse and say, hey, look, they were without their best perimeter defender and their rim defender that are presumably going to play when this actually matters, and it was a 2-point game with about 2 minutes left, which is not a joke. I mean, it's not like the Spurs scored a lot on them or when they didn't have their defenders. So, you know, what happens when they do? And that being said, the Warriors are going to have home court advantage. And as we know, the Spurs have a lot of role players, and their role players play a lot better at home than on the road. And when you have four games at home and the Warriors haven't lost at home all year, Spurs haven't lost at home all year, we can even run it chalk. And you can say that there's no chance that they win that series either. So it just – I'm trying to find reasons where other teams could actually beat them in a series or take, you know, two or three games. You know, I'm trying to find reasons to where the Clippers can win two games, the Thunder can win two or three games. I just can't see it, mainly because this team is just so well positioned to play every single game. And the other thing is that they're ranked, I think, top 10 in defense right now, which is not that great. But their crunch time defense is number one by far. So it's one of those things where you know they can turn on the switch. And when that switch turns on, you know that there's another level they can reach. Unlike the Cavs, who think they could turn on the switch, but they've actually never reached the next level. So when you turn on the switch, nothing actually turns on. So you're kind of just standing there like, hey, what's happening here? So I think that the Warriors have, you know, reached a level where, unless I see some injuries happen, they're getting Festus back at the end of the season again, who dominated the Cavs in the latter half of that series. Unless I see some injuries happen, unless I see some type of collapse, you know, internally, you know, by some weird reason, who knows? If I see something like that, then I won't hesitate to call it out. But just right now, I don't see a way that a series can even be close. I honestly think that they'll probably beat the Spurs in five or six games. And I say that without trolling. I actually mean that, but it'll come off as trolling.
To be honest with you, Andy, and I think you might be surprised by my response here, Golden State didn't lose their fourth game of the season until game 41, Saturday, January 16th at Detroit. They haven't lost at home all season, as you said. So even if you are going chalk, as you put it very well, against the Spurs, it's Golden State in seven. It's anybody who picks anybody but the Golden State Warriors is blindly crazy, in my opinion. You can argue San Antonio being a tremendous defensive team. They are. You can argue the Thunder having two of the best five players in the NBA in Durant and Westbrook. That's true. But what you put it all together, you look at the numbers, you watch the games, and barring injury, as Grizzlies fans know, that changes everything. Barring injury, I don't see how you pick against Golden State. I just don't see it. I'm with you. I've tried to sit here and be able to troll you back, and I can't do it. They literally played 41 games to lose four. And again, obviously the playoffs, you're playing a good team every night outside of the first round. Second round, you're playing a good team every night. But even the Clippers, man, say if it is the Grizzlies-Clippers in 4-5 matchup, let's say the Clippers win in 6 or 7, which most people will probably logically pick. I don't think that'll happen, but let's go with that. Golden State's not losing more than a game to the Clippers. This Clippers team tried against the Memphis Grizzlies and got beat by almost 10 points, and that was with Zach Randolph having to throw a triple-double together. So I just don't see it. I don't see the Clippers – or excuse me, I don't see the Warriors losing more than four games on their way to the NBA Finals. I don't see it. Maybe they lose two to the Spurs, maybe three. I don't think they lose a game in the first round, and in the second round, maybe one. If the Clippers make it, I mean, if it's the Grizzlies, I love the Grizzlies. I cover them. But if they're not healthy, it's going to be a sweep. And it's really crazy to look at what Golden State is doing. And like you said, you're exactly right, Andy. To expect this every year, and there might be Golden State fans that are expecting that. I mean, whether or not you think Harrison Barnes is a big part of this puzzle, he's probably not coming back. Eventually, Andre Iguodala will be gone. Eventually, Andrew Bogut will be. These are all guys that aren't as important as Steph, Draymond, or Klay, but they're all key role players, and eventually they're going to be gone. This team's going to change, and there is eventually, I don't wish this on anybody, but injuries happen to everyone at some point. So there's going to be ups and downs for the Warriors eventually. It comes for everyone. But the here and now is really special, and if they can keep it together, there's no way the Golden State Warriors lose the NBA championship. Andy, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Coming in to talk with us from the West Coast. We will talk to you possibly in the second round of the playoffs. We might have you back on to try to make Grizzly fans feel better as they watch the Warriors run through their favorite team.
Sounds good, man. Awesome time. Thanks, y'all. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that was Andy Liu, staff writer for SB Nation's Golden State of Mind. Make sure you're following him on Twitter if you don't already do so, at AndyKHLIU. We're finishing up here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, and forgive me if I've been a little bit negative tonight, ladies and gentlemen, but this season has really been a grind. Between the health and between, the fact they were underachieving slightly in terms of Marc Gasol individually, Mike Conley to a lesser extent individually, and with a bit more of an excuse, the whole broken face thing. This season has just been an up and down roller coaster that can really tire you out. And you watch this team play, and they do the best they can. It's not for a lack of trying, and it's not for a lack of coaching either. Dave Yeager is having a tremendous season as a coach. At some point, something's got to give, and it might be the playoffs. It might be them finding a way to will their way to a Clippers series win in 6 or 7 games. That'd be awesome. But that's the peak, because the Golden State Warriors would await you in the second round, and you can be the most optimistic Grizzlies fan in the world. They're not surviving that. They're not surviving that. And if they fall below the 5 seed, they're not surviving San Antonio or Oklahoma City. So you can be positive. And if Conley comes back and can play at his highest level, if Brandon Wright can come back and stay healthy and play to his capabilities, maybe they pick off a game or two against the Oklahoma City or a San Antonio and they find a way to make it a series, if that is what happens. If those two guys come back and they play the Clippers, I think the Grizzlies will win that series. But you have to, without Marc Gasol, with all the things that have gone on, it's a situation where they're free of expectation, and that's dangerous for an opposing team. But you also have to be realistic. This team, especially without Mark, is limited. You can hope for the best, but also understand that the best may not come. Our next show will be March 31st at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. That is a week from today of our recording on a Thursday night. Make sure you're joining us for another great episode of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Peter Fleischer will be one of our guests next week. We're excited to have him on the program. Time slot is not solidified yet for Peter, but we will have him on the show for the first time. Excited to have him on to talk about Grizzlies' playoff positioning, which hopefully is a little bit more solid between now and then. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at GBB Live, and make sure you are subscribing to our podcast on iTunes so that you never miss an episode. Okay, here we go. Time for our drawings and our giveaways. I know folks have been excited about this for a while now. So here we go. Let's check it out. We are going to start with the Grizzly Bear Blues Live trivia question of the week. Again, log on to your Twitter machines now if you're listening to the show live. This is a reward to live listeners. You need to be the first person to tweet the correct answer to this question, and you at GBB Live, and you will get a one-month subscription to FanEssentials.net, the tremendous Grizzlies gear service and sports gear service that comes right to your door of various swag for your favorite team, hopefully the Memphis Grizzlies. Again, at GBB Live, tweet the answer at us, the correct answer, and you will win the one-month subscription. Here is the question. Jordan Farmar, only a couple of games into his Grizzlies tenure, already kind of hotly debated. He was a big reason for a win. He was a big reason for a loss. Jordan Farmar has played on how many NBA teams now, including the Memphis Grizzlies? Over the course of his career, how many NBA teams has Jordan Farmar played for, including his time with Memphis? All right? Again, at GBB Live, tweet the correct answer to that question, and you will win the FanEssentials.net one-month subscription. One more time, Jordan Farmar has played for how many NBA teams now, including the Grizzlies? So, that's the question of the day. Hopefully folks are scrambling to find the answer and they can earn themselves a Fan Essentials box. I have the, I don't know if you can hear it or not, but I'm mixing up all of the various entries. Thanks to everybody who followed GBB Live on Twitter and retweeted our tweet to get into this drawing for the 2 tickets to the Grizzlies versus Spurs game at home, FedEx Forum in Memphis on March 28th. We will get in touch with you about how you can get your tickets here in a moment. It is by Twitter handle. I am pulling out an entry now. And the winner is Princess Chris. All right, Princess Chris, you are the winner of the 2 tickets to the Grizzlies-Spurs game on Monday. Again, we'll be in touch with you on how you can get your tickets from us. Princess Chris is the winner. Make sure that you are continuing to listen to Grizzly Bear Blues Live, continuing to follow us on Twitter. Thank you so much for taking part. And thanks to everybody who entered the drawing. Don't get discouraged if you didn't win. This time, the next Fan Essentials giveaway, which will be next week, will be by drawing and retweets of the tweet of the week again. So that'll be how we give away the Fan Essentials box next week. So keep following us. Keep retweeting when that tweet comes up on Thursday, and you will be able to be in the drawing for the Fan Essentials 1 month subscription. So again, make sure you're answering that question if you haven't already. And again, this is for the live listeners, so if you're listening at the end of the show, you're probably out of luck. Thanks to Princess Chris for retweeting and following us. We will be in touch with you about the two tickets to the Spurs game on Monday. Thanks to everybody for listening. Make sure you're subscribing on iTunes. Make sure that you are following us on Twitter at GB Live. Thanks for all of our guests tonight, Grace Baker, Chris Reichert, and Andy Liu. It's been a great show. Looking forward to watching these next few games. San Antonio Spurs, a tremendous, tremendous team. Going to be crazy to see how they play. Hopefully the Grizzlies can find a way to beat Denver. That is my goal, and hopefully we are talking about that positive note on the next episode of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Grind forth, Grizz Nation. I'll see you next week. This has been Grizzly Bear Blues Live.